I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, Birdland. I'm Mark Brown. I've been covering the Orioles for more than a decade on CamdenChat.com and hosting this podcast for 112 episodes and counting. It is now April the 26th, 2024. The Orioles are 16-8 after taking 2 out of 3 games from the Angels out in Anaheim, which means for the third straight episode, the team is on pace for a 108-win regular season. That is true now after about 15% of the season has been played. 108 stitches on a baseball, 108 stars of destiny in Suikoden, 108 regular season wins recorded by the 1970 Orioles on their way to a World Series title. As I kept saying on this show last year, I'm taking the under on that, but, you know, I kept being wrong about it last year. So just because I can't imagine something so awesome doesn't mean it can't happen. I am recording this a little earlier in the evening on Thursday, so the Orioles may either be tied for first place or one game behind the Yankees, depending on whether New York beats the Athletics, which I'm just going to go ahead and assume they probably did, so we'll say one game, and if not, hooray, and hopefully the Orioles can keep picking up ground on the Yankees. In today's episode, I'm going to take a look ahead to the Orioles' own series against the Yankees that will be this weekend, and then have another crack at guessing what's going to happen with Orioles' rotation and pitching staff generally based on this week's developments with rehabbing starters John Means and Kyle Bradish possibly returning sooner than I had anticipated. But heading into this season, about the Athletics, every bit of commentary was pretty much taking it for granted that Oakland would be the worst team in MLB, which is what they were a year ago. They had a 50-112 record, pretty bad, although we have seen worse here in Birdland, and really nothing happened to change the trajectory of the team away from being really bad. The fives for the franchise, they're just horrible since then. Everything going on with the abandonment of Oakland for the idea of a Las Vegas future that is maybe a mirage, not the casino, the mirage, but just an actual mirage. And even earlier this year, it officially became the case that the Athletics would be leaving Oakland, and their hiatus for whatever's next is going to be in Sacramento before they go to Vegas, or if they don't ever actually go to Vegas, then wherever. And, I mean, the Athletics, they were also quite bad in 2022. So if this is a tanking era for them, up to this point, all they've got to show for that is one top 100 prospect in the current MLB pipeline top 100, which is shortstop Jacob Wilson, their first-round draft choice last year. So up to this point, things certainly aren't going well for the Athletics. They are 9-16 heading into Thursday. Again, assuming a loss, let's say they're 9-17. They are eclipsed in the cellar of the league by disasters going on with the White Sox, Rockies, Marlins, and the surprisingly bad Astros, but we'll see where things shake out for the Athletics as the season goes along, but at least for now, that's how it is. Oakland, they're not in a good place, but other teams are worse. They're not even last in their own division because of that thing with the Astros, who did lose again on Thursday. And as far as the Athletics and their problem on the baseball field, it's very simple. Their offense, it's not good. Entering Thursday, this is the team's overall batting line. A 204 batting average, 274 on-base percentage, 341 slugging percentage. That is 14th among the 15 AL teams in every one of those categories. They are striking out the most of any AL team. They only have one player with any kind of stolen base speed. All of this adds up to scoring the second fewest runs of any of the teams in the league. And seriously, through 25 games played, the Athletics averaged 2.84 runs scored per game. Wow. The Orioles, who lead the American League in runs scored, they are averaging very nearly double that output at a 5.6 repeating runs per game. So, yeah, it's pretty dire for the Athletics offense. And it's not a surprise when you look at the individual stat lines and see what's going on. 7 of their 9 regular players are batting under 200. Players who they may have hoped would be taking a step forward this year, such as catcher Shea Langeliers and former top 5 pick outfielder J.J. Bleday. They're just not doing it. Even hopes that performance from like first baseman Ryan Noda, who had a 110 OPS plus a year ago, that might be at least match for this year, are being dashed so far. Noda OPSing just 530, which is a 63 OPS plus. And remember, that is 37% below league average up to this point. So, and as far as their hitters go, it's like they don't even have many guys they might trade for prospects. Mostly DH Brent Rooker is about the only one. And Rooker, he's the only remotely successful hitter. He's slugging over 500, even though his batting average is under 200. Don't really know what's going to happen there over the long term. Another decent hitter on the Athletics is the guy who seemed like he was going to make the Orioles opening day roster until Tony Kemp came along, which is Tyler Nevin. Nevin, he's got an OPS of 689 through 18 games. That doesn't sound very good, but actually, when adjusting for league and park factors, that is a 111 OPS plus, or 11% better than league average for the year. So, pretty crummy offense, but none of this means that the Orioles can sleep through these games and expect to win. But nonetheless, the results are what they are on paper, and we'll see how that ends up shaking out over the next few days. Though, as with the just-concluded Angels series, the Orioles have a tiny bit of bad luck in that they will be facing the two good Oakland starting pitchers up to this point over the course of this three-game series. Of course, in Anaheim, in the just-concluded series, the Orioles won the two games against the good starting pitchers and lost the game against the really bad one, even though Grayson Rodriguez was starting for the Orioles on that occasion. So, you know, there is, again, another reminder, you never really know what is going to happen on a particular night's game. Just over the long run, good teams will be good, great teams will be great, and not very good teams will be not very good. But that doesn't mean any given game something weird can't happen. So, Friday, that is the most lopsided, at least theoretically, with Ross Stripling pitching for Oakland and Corbin Burnes going for the Orioles. Stripling, he brings a 5.34 ERA through his first 5 games into this series. You can argue he's had some terrible luck. His batting average on balls in play is 376 compared to a career mark. And for a guy as old as Stripling, I believe he's 34, career mark of 294. So that's a large sample that Ross Stripling pretty much is going to have a 294 BABIP overall, and 376, really bad. So although he's been good at limiting hard contact in his StatCast numbers, that's pretty much all he's been good at. So I don't know, maybe he's just lost the edge and everybody's hitting stuff hard. Well, they're not, but everybody's hitting stuff well. I don't know. But 376 BABIP, it's high, and I don't want to see that start to flip on the Orioles. We'll see how our luck goes. Saturday afternoon's game, that's going to see Cole Irvin pitching for the Orioles with J.P. Sears starting for the Athletics. The 28-year-old Sears is the only lefty starter the Orioles are scheduled to face in these three games. Sears, he's got a 3.38 ERA through 5 games, but he struck out just 16 batters in 26 and two-thirds innings so far this year. So I will be surprised if he's able to continue that kind of success with so few strikeouts. But batters, they're only hitting 194 against Sears so far this season. As far as the Orioles pitcher, as we know, the former Athletic Irvin, he's not going to do too much to create a favorable pitching matchup against anybody. One quick comment on somebody in the Athletics bullpen, though. If you've been paying attention to other stories around the league, you probably already know about their closer. That is Mason Miller. He is a definite bright spot for the team. the 25-year-old second-year player, one of the real flamethrowers of Major League Baseball, averaging 100.7 miles per hour on his fastball. As you would expect from that, facing Miller in the ninth inning, it just tends not to go well for the batter. It's hard to hit a ball when it goes over 100 miles an hour, and he has gotten as high as 103 with some regularity on the radar gun. So it's just, it's crazy that is the way it is. I mean, that's even faster than Felix Bautista pitches. Bautista last year averaged merely 99.5 miles an hour on his fastball instead of 100.7. So as crazy as it is that Bautista pitches that fast, Miller, he throws even harder. So yeah, that's what the Orioles are going to have to deal with if Oakland takes any leads into the ninth. Fingers crossed, that is not what happens. I will be right back after a message from a Fans First Sports Network sponsor, and then it's time to take another crack at figuring out the squeeze on the Orioles' rotation as the rehabbing players make their way back from the injured list.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Don't forget, you can drop a message to me at CamdenCastPod@gmail.com or show up on Camden Chat and get my attention in the comments, where I go by the name EatMoreSK, to get a question or topic into the mailbag for a future episode. I find this whole rotation picture important to figure out and before the Athletics series specifically, because it looks like the shakeup could happen as soon as the Sunday series finale against Oakland. At least for Oakland, Paul Blackburn is listed as the starting pitcher. The 30-year-old righty, he's been great so far this season, dropped a 2.03 ERA through five starts. He's averaging more than six innings pitched per game. Notably, he's only allowed one home run in 31 innings. He had a zero ERA through three games against the Guardians, Tigers, and Nationals. Gotten roughed up a bit more since then by the Cardinals and the Yankees, so perhaps the Orioles will rough him up a bit more. It is not known right now who's going to end up pitching this game for the Orioles because, surprisingly to me, Brandon Hyde said before Wednesday's game, the team is looking at the possibility of having John Means return from his rehab assignment to start the game on Sunday. Considering only the stat line from Means' most recent rehab start, where Means allowed three runs on seven hits in just four and a third innings, that's a weird decision. Hyde, he pointed to the fact that all seven of the hits were singles, and he said the opponent was not hitting the ball too hard against Means. Now, with StatCast batted ball data available for all AAA games, this is a claim we can check. And I looked, and I'll tell you what, Hyde is not wrong about that. Of the seven singles hit against John Means in his most recent rehab outing, only one of those seven had an exit velocity over 100 miles an hour. Only two of them were over 90. So it is not crazy to read perhaps better performance into that than the results show. That's a case where, you know what, maybe that was some bad luck. If Means jumps back into the rotation on Sunday, that seems to come at the expense of Albert Suarez, who was going to be on regular turn for that day. Suarez, of course, he's a great story just for returning to Major League Baseball after nearly 7 years in absence, and an even better one thanks to his first two outings being 5 2/3 scoreless innings apiece. You know, there was even a story in The Athletic this week from Ken Rosenthal that the headline described the Orioles getting Suarez as a scouting triumph. He would have been on turn to start Sunday, so I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they will bump him back a day and have Suarez go against the Yankees. Maybe the plan is going to be to have him piggyback off of Means, not really knowing how far Means is going to be able to go in his first big league start. Maybe Suarez is just going to be shuffled into the bullpen generally as a long man. I mean, if it was up to me, I would push Means the max allowed number of days on the rehab assignment, which would mean he would start for Norfolk on Sunday instead of the Orioles. But it's not up to me. I do think maybe one thing leaning towards the Orioles just activating him on Sunday is the roster juggling would get a little weirder if they had him pitch in the minors on Sunday and then activate him when the 30 days are up, because the 30-day rehab assignment is going to end before Means's second to next start. So they might not want to have to activate him when he's not even going to pitch for 3 days. You might as well just activate him on the Sunday. I don't know. They maybe don't care about that. Maybe they're just really impressed with how Means has looked in Norfolk, even with those bad superficial results in the last start. So perhaps as soon as Sunday, we're going to find out if they are right. And Means is not even the only Orioles rehabbing starter who could end up being back sooner than expected. Hyde on Wednesday also said that the team is going to think about bringing Kyle Bradish back from his rehab assignment once he has gotten himself built up to 5 innings and about 80 pitches. Bradish last pitched on Sunday, so he'll be lined up to pitch in Norfolk today. He is listed as their scheduled starting pitcher as of this recording. Bradish's previous two outings have gone 44 and 64 pitches. So if things don't go badly for him, he could hit that 80-pitch mark or get in that vicinity on that start he makes today. So if the Orioles would then keep him on regular rest, that could have him starting for the Orioles as soon as Wednesday's game against the Yankees. I'm a little skeptical that they're really going to do this, but I mean, if the Orioles think Bradish is ready, then it's true there's no sense wasting any more time with him in the minors. The rotation certainly improves if its number one pitcher from last year comes back looking like anything close to what he was looking like last year. I would feel a little bit better about this if Bradish's most recent outing for Norfolk didn't see him walk 3 guys and give up 3 runs in only 3 1/3 innings. But, you know, if he pitches well on Friday, then I'll go right back to feeling great about the idea about seeing him as soon as Wednesday. Which creates the question, who comes out of the rotation when Bradish is back? Maybe about 2 weeks sooner than I was expecting that question would be created. It seems like that would be between Cole Irvin and Dean Kramer. Neither one of these guys excites me very much, but I think Irvin's track record excites me less than Kramer's, because Kramer really just needs to get the memo that the league-wide home run rate is down so far in 2024. Kramer does not know that because his home run per 9 innings is 2, which is pretty bad even in a normal year. But other than that, he could probably be fine. Irvin, although his most recent outing did see him go 6 2/3 scoreless innings, I think he's just too hittable. He is not displaying the pinpoint command he had with Oakland that saw him walk just 2 batters per 9 innings over 2 full seasons there. I think surely that contributed to Irvin being able to average nearly 6 innings per start. So, I mean, the Orioles, they can push the decision another week if they want to let Bradish get more minor league work in. But I feel like the fact that Hyde brought up the idea of him coming up sooner does seem like a big tell of what they're planning. The Orioles, they're not in the habit of giving away details they don't really need to give away. And then it's going to be a ripple effect on the bullpen. So I'm curious what's going to happen to change the bullpen if 2 starters are presumably getting kicked down into the bullpen. That is, are they going to have both Suarez and Irvin go into the bullpen? Should either of these guys even have the potential to be in the short relief mix? That's going to be the ripple effect. And again, let's remember, the only players in the bullpen right now who can be optioned to the minor leagues are Keegan Aiken, Yennier Cano, and Dylan Tate. Neither Irvin nor Suarez have minor league options remaining, so they cannot be sent out without being placed on waivers. Then you've got, based on how these guys have pitched so far, I wouldn't miss Johan Ramirez or Mike Baumann. Both of them are out of options as well. Now, Mike Elias, he seems like he really, really doesn't like putting guys on waivers unless things are really desperate. Ramirez has a 7.20 ERA in his first handful of outings with the Orioles. He's so wild, I don't think he can be trusted. And of course, he's already been cut loose by one team so far this year. So it's not like he's only looked like this with the Orioles. The Mets also got rid of him. And then there's Baumann, pretty similar. His ERA is lower, but still bad. 5.59 ERA through 11 games. It just seems like it's going to be time to move on from these guys when the opportunity presents itself. They don't want to shuffle them out just for a Norfolk reliever like Brian Baker or Matt Crook or Caleb Ort. Okay, fine. But now if you're going to have Means and Bradish coming back and either Suarez or Irvin or both going into the bullpen, it seems like that's going to be the time to move on. But then again, sometimes Elias won't do move on from a struggling early reliever, even when things do seem desperate. CNL Perez really was not good the first 2 months of last season, and they kept him around. But I don't think there was ever quite a squeeze like this one a year ago. And even Perez might end up being part of this squeeze within a few weeks because he started a rehab assignment in Norfolk on Wednesday. So, yeah, he'll also be part of the squeeze. And that, at least, is going to be a problem the Orioles can deal with when they get to it. They also seemingly will then have the problem of what to do with Tyler Wells when he makes his way back from his injured list stint that he is on due to elbow inflammation. At this point, Wells has already been on the injured list for 13 of the minimum 15 days. Though Wells and the team seem to think it wouldn't be a long stay when he was placed there, at this moment, there's no news of a plan for ramping him back up or when he might go out on a rehab assignment of his own. So down the road, when he comes back, does he slot into the rotation or does he join the bullpen mix? I would put him back in the bullpen. I think he's shown some success there. Though Wells, he is capable of being optioned to the minors, unlike many of these other guys. So if the Orioles do really want to go that route, they can do it. But at this point, it seems more like the Orioles would be more likely to choose between optioning maybe whoever is performing worse out of Aiken or Tate. Or perhaps even if Jacob Webb moves himself fully into struggle bus territory, as Ramirez and Bauman seem to be presently, he could find his way to the DFA pile as well. But all of this hypothesizing assumes Wells' inflammation clears up as soon as the first optimistic statements suggested, which also is not guaranteed. It certainly might not happen. Anytime you hear about injuries involving the elbow, it's always a little concerning because you just never really know how guys are going to bounce back. You're never going to know if it's going to end up being something more serious. That is why we all, well, I don't want to speak for everyone, but it is why I was nervous as soon as spring training started and Mike Elias revealed that Kyle Bradish had a UCL sprain, a minor one. So it looks like he's doing fine on his way back, and I'm still going to be a little nervous about him, really, until he's gotten a few big league starts under his belt that a more serious injury might occur. Means, who has had the Tommy John surgery, there's no guarantee you're going to get back even in a reasonable expected time frame. He ended up having the back injury as he was getting towards the final stages of his rehab from Tommy John surgery and ended up not coming back for a couple more months. And then even after making only four starts, had the elbow soreness again that kept him from pitching in the playoffs, had the Orioles have him delay his offseason throwing program by a month, which is why Means is where he is now in the minors instead of in the big league rotation. So, I mean, you know, what's going to happen with Wells' inflammation? It's until he's back, anything is possible. I do hope it doesn't go badly. Wells, I think, would be a useful pitcher in the bullpen, probably more useful than some of the guys who are in there already. So hopefully he can get his way back and get into that mix. That's all that I've got for today. If you have enjoyed this show, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. Maybe tell an Orioles fan you know about the show as well. Thank you to everyone for listening and subscribing. I will be back on a regular schedule on Monday morning to talk about whatever has happened in Birdland between now and then, hopefully a fun series against the Athletics. Good Morning Birdland is a Camden Cast production on the Fans First Sports Network. This is Mark Brown, signing off.